Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to share this word with us today, and I want to talk a little bit about the end times today. This is a message I finished it Thursday and sent it over to the church and had it done, and then some other events have been happening, but I'm just going to leave it the way it is, and been praying on it and going over it over and over it again. And so I want to talk to you today for a few minutes about how to thrive in the end times. That's what I want to talk about. The Lord put this on my heart 2 weeks ago. I've been just feeling like, you know, before we get into our next series on the Beatitudes, which is going to be amazing, by the way, but the Lord just put this in my heart, and I've been trying to figure out a way how to preach it. You know, I don't want to get all into some of the stuff, and I love talking about eschatology. I really do. I've studied it. That's the study of end times. There's a lot of things to be said about it. There's a lot of things happening right now, but what is the Lord saying to his church about right now? A lot of things we don't know. We don't know who all these things are, and the Antichrist and all of that. I mean, we got some suspicions, and I got some things that I'm not comfortable to say right now, but in the near future, I may. There's some things that are really right in front of us that are happening, really, really on a major scale. Revelation 13, I can take you there and show you, like, this is happening right now. This is where we are, and it's really eye-opening. But what is God saying to the church, to Christians? Like, what do we know for sure? That's how I love to talk about and think about. And so why don't we do this? We do like to stand. Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy, and won't you stand with me one more time in honor of God's word, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And hopefully this mic is going to work all the way through, and we'll preach for about 20 minutes or so, and then let us go on about our day. I want to welcome everybody out in our live stream ministries, and I know we're praying for Karen Alexander and the family. We're praying for Sherry. Stanley, who has been battling cancer, just got out of the hospital, and we got a lot in our church that are just facing a lot of big things, and so we're praying with them, and my dad's at home resting. It's good to have my mama here on the front row and worshiping with us. Amen. And it's always good for you to make it. Those that are new to the faith, we have life group season. It started. A lot of groups have already filled up. There's one on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock taught by the Gambinos. It's called Foundations. If you're new to the faith or you've never been through a new believer's course, this is going to be for you. Sign up. It's called Foundations, Wednesday night at 7. You're gonna love it. I'm going to be teaching on evangelism, the same one I did in the winter, and many weren't able to make it because you were teaching in Royal Rangers or Girls Ministry or whatever. I'm teaching on how to share your faith, lifestyle evangelism, in the chapel, Wednesday nights at 7. So also sign up for those. And there's groups everywhere that's happening. And so I want to say that. So 2 Timothy is a pastoral book. The Apostle Paul is writing to the young pastor of how to have order in the church. And there's a lot to be said about Ephesus. And it was a very divided community between male and female. It was women were had a lot of usurp authority. Ephesus is the first ancient city with a female mayor. They worship the goddess of sex and love. They had a temple there. Women would braid their hair as a symbol of being part of that worship. And so there's where you get these scriptures about braiding hair, about women being silent in churches. Actually, that word woman means wife, because the women and the husbands and wives would sit on two different sides of the church. And women, if they had a question, they would yell out and interrupt the preacher. And it was just very chaotic. And some churches are still like that in Europe, by the way, some of the Orthodox Christian churches. And so there's a lot of things that the church has stumbled over if you just stay in Ephesus. But if you come with us on Wednesday nights, we dive into these topics on our Bible study. If you study the scripture, you find out that Paul the Apostle did not have a thing with women. He said in Corinthians that a woman can prophesy in church as long as her head is covered. So I thought they were to be silent. I mean, there are so many things that, how many know we are told in 2 Timothy to rightly divide the word of truth? So if there's a right way to divide the Bible, how many know there's a wrong way to divide the Bible? And so that's why pastors get educated and we go to Bible school. We don't follow everything on YouTube. Amen. Or TikTok. So Timothy has all of that in there. But what people miss is what I'm talking about today is Paul the Apostle also addresses the end times. He prophesies of how culture is going to be. And so I want us to look, I don't have time to read chapter 3 and 4, but that would be good if I could, but let's just go to chapter 4 and focus on this. I charge you therefore, verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a pretty serious statement, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. How many know that one day God is going to right every wrong? Every injustice that's been done, he's going to make it right. Okay? So, verse 2. Meanwhile, Timothy, preach the word. Preach what? Preach your opinion. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. If the power goes out, you got to learn to worship. I had no idea this was going to happen today, but it fits right in. Look at God. See, God can even make sense of something we think is an interruption. Oh, I can preach for 20 minutes on that. Some of the things we're rebuking is really God trying to show us something. Preach, preacher. Amen. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince people. We need to learn to convince people. And rebuke. There are some things that need to be. Some people need to be rebuked. Amen. In love. Exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They can't last long. That's the word you need to circle. They won't last long. They will come for a minute, but they won't endure. They won't last long. To what? To sound teaching. To doctrine that is right. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves. Look at the word. That means there's going to be a bunch of them. Heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. But you, everybody say, but you. But you, Timothy, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions or hardships. Do the work of an evangelist. And this is how you finish your ministry. And now this is Paul's last letter that he ever wrote. And he's saying goodbye. And man, this is a really powerful statement. Look how the apostle finishes his race. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure is at hand. Paul the apostle would go on to be beheaded by Nero, the emperor, king of Rome, just in a few days after this letter. He knew it. He did not back down. He said, I'm ready. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. Somebody help me today. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept. Come on, somebody. I've kept. I might have stumbled, but I kept. I might have lost some friends, but I kept. I might have lost some battles, but I kept. I might have lost my step, but I kept. I kept my faith. Give me praise if you're going to keep your faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord himself, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of this word. I pray that you would instruct us, encourage us, correct us today through this word. Father, a lot of things are happening, a lot of things around us we don't even understand, we don't know. A lot of chatter is everywhere we turn. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody has a feeling. Everybody has a disagreement, God. Everybody has all these things. But Lord, help us see what you say. We will receive your word today. Anoint my mouth to speak this, God, and anoint our hearts to receive it and to hear it today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tell somebody, are you ready to thrive and not just survive before you're seated? How to thrive in the end times. How to thrive in the end times. How many know God doesn't want us to just survive? He wants us to thrive. It's not about just holding on until Jesus comes. It's not about that. It's about thriving. It's about bearing fruit. It's about walking with the Lord in confidence. No matter what's happening, our faith isn't shaken. I mean, this is what it means to thrive when all hell could be breaking loose around you, literally. And you could be going through one of the toughest seasons of your life. But you could say, as Joshua did last week, as for me and my house, I'm still going to serve the Lord. I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to live for him. That's when you're thriving, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. And God wants all of us to get to that place. And so instead of pointing out some of these things that everybody loves to talk about, including me, I'm going to not talk and focus on that. Like I said, I want to focus on what does the Bible tell us to do? Everyone focuses on the big things like the Antichrist and all that. And I do believe AI has got a big part to play in some of this stuff. It's not all bad. A lot of people are using AI and ChatGPT, and it helps people. And I understand there's a certain thing. But just so you know, as a pastor, we had this talk with some other pastors about using ChatGPT for your sermons. And some of these guys are. I will never do that. I just want you to know. That's scary. And it may write a better sermon than I can preach, but if it don't come from thus saith the Lord, I don't want it. Amen. So just so you know, okay, I ain't going to do that. I just can't. I'm old school. Dad taught us how to preach, and that's get along with God, get it in your heart, and then go. Amen. Write it down, study it, but you got to bathe yourself in that message, and you got to believe what you're saying. And so that's how I'm going to always preach, whether I'm teaching, talking, or whatever, and that's how it is, amen, just so you know. And everyone focuses on these big things, and I could show you how AI, the Bible does. I would just say this, the Bible predicts that there's going to be a computer, a giant worldwide computer, able to control the world commerce. And 10 years ago, people would laughed at this. People laughed at the idea that there would be any kind of technology that advanced. And we're all seeing what's happening. So there's a lot of things, and I can go down that road. But for the sake of time, I'm not, because I want to focus on other things that people miss. Primarily, what does the society look like? And let me give you these. In chapter 3, which I didn't have time to read, Paul describes the society of what we will be facing. People looks for the Antichrist and the seven horns and the seven dragons coming out of the sea. And that's all cool. And I could show you how to unpack that in Revelations. But we miss the things that are happening right in front of us. And the Bible says that Paul says that perilous times will come. That's difficult times are going to come. This is how society. The word perilous there means dangerous. It means painful. It means fierce. It means savage. That's what kind of times that we will be living in when Christ returns. The Bible predicts, in case you didn't know, that Jesus is going to come again. Just like he came the first time, the Bible predicted he's going to come as a baby born in Bethlehem from the virgin birth. It's going to have all these signs, and everybody missed those signs because they were looking for the other signs. They were looking for the Messiah to set up his throne and his kingdom. Those are the second time when he comes, and everybody missed. And here we're living in today, I believe many are missing, again, the predictions of what Christ taught. We're looking for the Antichrist and that. Always be looking, absolutely. I do believe we're going to see some of that before the coming of the Lord, but I believe he can come at any time. He could come before I finish this message. And whether or not this is the last days, these are my last days. These are your last days. Unless you plan on living 50 more, 70 more years, which I doubt it, amen. Unless they come out with some more oils that are really good or something. There's all kind of stuff that's out there. But Paul says this is how you know you're living in the end times, because it's going to be very difficult. Society would be absent of virtue, but abounding in vices. Is that today? Then he says it's going to be a very self-centered culture, a very narcissistic culture, a very proud culture. I mean, in other words, if I'm not going to be in it, if it's not about me, if you're not going to mention me, I'm not going to be in it. I mean, it's every conversation is transactional. It's about what can you do for me? I mean, society's going to be about us all the time. Do you think we're there? And then he says it's going to be very disobedient, unholy. It's going to be very selfish, unforgiving. People just unforgiving. People without self-control. People get offended at all kinds of things. False religions. Here's a scary thing about the false religions. It's not just Satan worship. The Bible predicts that it's going to be people that will have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power of God. In other words, they'll look holy and like they're Christians, but they're not. They have no display of a change in their life. There's no power in their life to change. but they look very religious. This is Jesus said on the day of judgment that many are going to come to me and say, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not go on missions trips in your name? Did I not do these great things? And Jesus said, I'm going to tell them, depart from me, for I never knew who you were. There was no intimacy. There was no relationship. Everything was religious to you. It never came into your heart. Hear me, church. This is why we got to wake up. Somebody say, wake up. There's going to be a form of godliness, not a form of the devil. He said a form of godliness. Paul said, this is how you know you're in the last days, in deception. Jesus warns about deception 7 times in Matthew 24. Deception, it points out how many are going to be deceived and being deceived. In other words, we're going to think we're okay just the way we are. And it leads to the last one, opposition of the truth. People are going to oppose the truth. They're not going to be able to endure the truth, preaching like this and teaching like this. And no matter if you preach it with love, which I try my best to do and come from the heart, if it's going to rub people the wrong way. And here's the thing, that's because people are not in their word. Because if you're not presented with truth for a long time, you develop your own truth, and then when you stand in front of the truth, it will offend your truth. But if you're constantly in the truth every day, then it's going to be hitting you every day, but you're going to stay with it, and you're going to grow in the things of God, and the word of God won't offend you. It'll confirm what you're saying. But people ain't going to do that. They don't want to do that. They're going to oppose the truth. They're going to have you on YouTube and start breaking down your sermon. They're like, yeah, look at this guy. Look at what he said here. And because they want following, once you subscribe and like, and they make money that way. And so it's all about that. And it's so divided, and people don't even know who they can trust. We have a culture of distrust today. I read this article. There's 70% of Americans today said that they do not believe the news media or anything on social media today. That's about right. 70%. The bad thing is we don't trust anybody. We have a culture now of distrust, and rightfully so, because we've been lied to. But it's a scary thing when we don't. Where are we going to go to find the truth? We got to go to the Word, but not everybody has that view, guys. Not everybody has that. And it can even creep into the church, for the Bible says that even the very elect could fall away. So what do we do? So if you look through 2 Timothy, and this time I'll preach it, I'll look through 2 Timothy, and Paul always gives this description of what I just read to you, of a very dark and heavy culture, but then he will say, but you, Timothy, do this. He says, people are going to live their life like this, but you, Timothy, live your life like that. You'll find, but you, O Timothy. He says that several times, and so I'm going to look at every one of those and bring those out to you today as you're taking notes, because if you take notes, you get a bigger mansion in heaven. Amen. You're going to need to remember this. So this is the survival, I was going to call it the playbook for the end times. This is how you and I are to thrive when you see disunity, when you see people that disagrees and you don't even know what to believe, and you're being shaken and your faith is being shaken and all of this. What do we do? What do we do? Well, look at the Word of God. Paul told Timothy, when these things happen, the first one is 2 Timothy 1:13. He says the first one, but you, everybody say, but you. But you follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in faith and in love that are in Christ Jesus. But you follow the pattern. This is what I want you to do, Timothy. You follow the pattern that I have set before you. What is a pattern? A pattern, and I've preached this to you before, and I've taught you this. A pattern is spiritual disciplines. It's something that your prayer time, you're reading the Word, you're going to Scripture. You and I need to have an established pattern already in place of spiritual disciplines. If you don't have a spiritual pattern in your life, like everybody has a work pattern. You get up, you go to work. You may not drive the same place. I was corrected the other day. Someone said they do take different places to work. Here it is. But we all, that's cool. But we all have patterns. You know what I mean? Some of you are so, you can set a clock as to what you do every day. Amen. Some of us live that way. We have patterns that we like to live our certain way, certain routines, certain things we like, and all of that. That's great. Well, you need, Paul is telling Timothy, to establish spiritual patterns in your life, things that you do that you automatically do. What is a spiritual discipline? I love this definition of a spiritual discipline. It is, I read this out of a great book by a man of God, and it says, a spiritual discipline is the intentional practices, they are intentional practices that deepen our experience with God by creating space for the Spirit to do His transforming power in us. That's the best definition I've ever heard of a spiritual discipline of a pattern. You have to be intentional. You do not grow in your faith on accident. It's intentional. You won't have time. You have to make time. You have to intentionally set aside time. I'm going to get in my word. I'm going to read my Bible at least 4 times a week before you're going to see any change. I've showed you that stat before. Nothing happened to people that read their Bible once a week, twice a week, even 3 times a week. There was hardly no change in their behavior, in their mood, or in their attitude. But when someone read their Bible for 4 times, it just jumped off the chart. There was a huge significant difference in the way they felt, in the way they behaved, and in their mood. Why? Because you got to get that word in you consistently. Meditate on it and read it. If you don't have an established pattern, listen, you're going to be the first to go. You're just going to be the first to go when times get tough. I'll take the mark. Amen. I still love Jesus, but I got to buy me some bread. There will be people that will do that. There will be people that will actually look at you and I serving the Lord and turn us in and be like, hey, man, they're a little radical. I mean, this is what the Bible predicts is what's going to happen. And if you and I aren't spending time in what thus saith the Lord, we will be swept up because it's going to be by many people that are popular, many people that have weight and a lot of influence and culture in social media. And we have grown into this tendency that if they're saying it, it must be true. Now, you and I are like that because we're students of the word, but our culture, our loved ones, and when your loved one, your family, starts to get these ideologies that can contradict the word of God, that's very tough for us. I've even known parents, and I've seen it so many times, spouses even, will end up being pulled away from the truth because someone they love is living a lie. And they love them so much that they turn and begin to applaud them and support them, and it's right in the face of God. Instead of saying, man, I love you, but I'm gonna stand with God's word. It's gonna happen. This is why Jesus says in the last days, brothers will turn against sisters, husbands will turn against family, kids will turn against parents. What is he saying? Well, this is exactly what he's saying is what's gonna happen. But you, Timothy, follow the pattern. Stay in love with Jesus. Just like two people in a marriage, if a couple don't learn to come together, if a couple don't practice intimacy and coming together on every level, talking and being with one another, they will become two people that just share a house. Amen? Pattern is so good. Patterns help us do the right thing when we don't know what the right thing is. Pattern, when you don't know what to do, you say, I'm going to go back to the pattern. You find it all in the Word of God. Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament was surrounded by the enemy. And the Bible says he didn't know what to do because the enemy was so big, so much bigger than his army. And so Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do. What did he do? He reverted back to his spiritual pattern. He said, but I'm just going to worship anyway. I'm just going to praise anyway. And the Bible says that as he worshiped, the Lord set roadblocks against his enemy. I love that. I heard this guy, I'm going to use it. I told you I was going to use it in my sermon, brother so-and-so. He's a police officer, and he just taught me this in this training thing I was talking to him about. He says that this thing is in law enforcement. If you and I come across a tragic situation, something that's life or death, you have the fight or flight, right? If your life is being threatened, right? I mean, your adrenaline pumps, and if it's a guy pulls out a weapon or whatever it is, you're in one of those situations. Everyone thinks you're going to rise to a level of expectation, but what really happens is you fall back to your training. Yeah. That's too military for you? Okay. So we all think if we get in a fight, fellas, we're going to go Bruce Lee on them, right? We're just like, someone comes for my family, or I get in a situation, I'm going to be all, you know, Chuck Norris. Okay, that's back in my day. Whoever is today, amen. But when you get confronted in a situation, you're not going to become Bruce Lee or Chuck Norris. You're going to be more like his sister. Amen. You will revert back to your training, to what is hardcore in your DNA and muscle memory. Okay, that's military. Spiritually speaking, it's the same way. Many hear me saying and say, well, Pastor Ed, if I ever see the Antichrist, if I ever see the end times, I'm going to be faithful with the Lord. I'm going to stand strong. And I'm going to say to you, you're going to keep doing what you're doing right now. You're going to give the same level you're given. You're reading your Bible the same much, and you're going to maybe panic and try to find some stuff, but you're not going to find the right word because you're not familiar. You haven't established a pattern, so you don't rise to your level of expectation. You fall to your training, what you already know, your spiritual pattern. That's what Jehoshaphat did. You go through the Word of God, and that's exactly what Paul and Silas did. That's exactly what Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, did. When he didn't have any children, him and his wife, Mary, was looking, or not Mary, but Elizabeth, they needed to have children, right? And I love that story because they were blessed, but they were barren. But the Bible says that Zechariah got up and still went to the temple to serve. Even though he's been praying for God to bless him with a child, and they never got one child. But he kept going to the temple. And it was that day that he decided to go to the temple that Gabriel the angel appeared to him and said, hey, you and your wife are going to have a son. You're going to name him John. What would have happened if he would have broke his pattern? You see, it's that pattern of consistency. A pattern will help us do the right thing when we don't know what the right thing is. Because if you and I keep doing the right thing, we're going to end up finding ourselves in a kairos moment, in that moment where God shows up and says, I know what you've been doing, but I'm going to show up now in that pattern that you've already got established, and I'm going to show you the right thing to do. You see it all in the Word of God. The lame man laid at the gate. Oh, I could go all day on these stories. They're all in the Word of God. When people didn't know what to do and should have gave up, and should have quit, but they stuck to their spiritual disciplines, and God blessed and honored it. That's how you're going to make it. So if you don't have a routine, a pattern already in the Word of God, get one. Get one to keep you from being deceived. What does the Word say? You hear a preacher or a clip or somebody on TikTok, sounds really good, but back it up with the Word. What does the Word say? What does God's Word say about it? Amen? Jesus left a pattern for his disciples before he was crucified. His last words to him, and he said to them, abide in me, and I will abide in you. He says that like 7 times in John 15. Stay in my word, and you can ask of me, and I will give it to you. Stay in me, and I in you, and you will overcome the word. What's he doing? He's establishing a pattern for the last days, a consistent pattern. You and I need to have that consistent pattern. Amen? But you follow the pattern. Let's keep going. 2 Timothy 4, 5 gives us the last three, and I'm going to focus on these, and they'll go a little quicker. Chapter 4, verse 5. But you, everybody say, but you, be watchful in all things. Endure hardships and do the work of an evangelist. Be watchful. That word watchful, what does that mean? It's a Greek word, nephos. It means to abstain from alcohol, to abstain from wine, to be sober-minded, to be clear-headed. Means to be vigilant, being able to think and be clear-headed. Jesus uses this term in scriptures all over the place in the New Testament. Jesus uses it when he's teaching on the last days in Luke 24. He uses the same word. He says in Luke 21:34, he says, but be watchful. Lest, that's the same word right there. Lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. But watch, he's using that word again, but watch. And pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and be able to stand before the Son of Man. Peter uses this word in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. He uses the word sober. It's the same Greek word, but the translators translated it instead of watch. They translated it the literal meaning, which means to be sober-minded. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may get upset. Devour, people. Devour. You've heard this before. Jesus has a plan for your life. Let me tell you something. The devil has a plan for your life. Jesus said it like this. The enemy come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Peter is saying, listen, this is what I'm saying, church. We're going to be living in a day, and it's here, that the pressures of life are going to be so heavy that you and I, Christian people, are going to be tempted to reach for things to just cut the edge off, man. We're going to be tempted to reach for things that are so easy to get right now. And we're going to say the pressure is just too much, man. The stress is too much, man. We're going to learn to reach for things. And when we're going to do that, it's going to end up opening up the door to the enemy and allowing us to not be aware and alert to what God is doing. It's a slippery slope to reach for these. But I love what Paul says in Ephesians 5. He says, do not be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me just preach to you for a minute. He says, instead, everybody say instead. How many know the Christian life is not about what you can't do and you're not supposed to? Everyone, it's not just about that. It's about the instead kind of living. It's don't walk according to the flesh. Instead, walk according to the Spirit. Don't just focus on what I can't do. The Word of God, it's not about do's and don'ts. It's about being with Christ. It's about becoming like Christ. And when you become like him and you focus on the living, then it starts to change who you and I are. But if you don't have that pattern established, then it's just a bunch of rules. And many Christians live their life according to rules, and that's not how it's supposed to be at all. Paul says, man, it's not about what you can touch or what you can't touch. It's about you learning the instead kind of living. And that is the option of turning to Jesus, learning to reach for the Holy Spirit, learning to reach for the Word, learning to reach for Christian fellowship, learning to reach out to somebody and say, hey, I'm struggling today. Will you pray for me? Learning to reach out to somebody and learn how to be filled with the Holy Spirit rather than reach for things that's going to open the door to the enemy in our life. And in the last days, the Bible says that people aren't going to do this. Hear me, young people, because it's all over TikTok and so, is this kind of thing. I love seeing people and coming to the Lord and younger people. And I hope Jelly Roll gets so saved. I love Jelly Roll. I love him. He's hilarious. And I love that he takes the time to stop in the middle of his concert and talk about Jesus. But I'm here to tell you that there's more to living for Christ than just wearing a Christian t-shirt. I got to pray for that man. I pray for him. Listen, and this is what Paul is saying. The Christian life is not, I can live for Christ and do this. Living for Christ isn't about, picking up Christ and adding him to your life. It's the instead of kind of living. Instead of dating all these women when I get married, instead, I'm going to be faithful to the one. If you're still dating all these other women, and I'm going to doubt your sincerity to your spouse. So Paul comes along and says, in the last days, it's going to be tempting for Christians to date other religions. It's going to be tempting for Christians to date other ideologies and philosophies. Oh, they sound so good, though, Pastor Eddie. Oh, I've been listening to that podcast, and it had a little scripture in that. What does the word say, brother? Bible says, flee the very period. I'm giving you scripture today right on the screen with the Greek word, but some people will still go right around that, right around it, like Judas, right around it, dip his bread right in the sauce with Jesus after Jesus said, whoever dips his bread in the sauce is my betrayer. I don't know about you, but I'd be sitting on my hands if I was Judas. Jesus has predicted in the last days many will turn to selfish ambition and sins of the world and vices. And we sit there and we listen to God, it's so pretty, amen. It's good for you, Pastor Eddie. I'm telling you, don't do it because you're going to end up being deceived. You're going to end up getting offended. The enemy's going to get a hold of your life. But he says, instead, learn to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Learn to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Learn to reach for God. I had to learn to do that. I used to love getting high. Are you kidding me? I couldn't do anything without getting a buzz. I loved it. It only lasted for a little while, but I still loved it. I had to learn, like Paul tells Timothy in the first book, learn to live godly. You got to learn to live godly, just like you used to learn to live ungodly. I had friends that taught me. I just didn't pick up and start smoking stuff. I had someone taught me how to do it. So did you. You can do it, amen. Drink orange juice after you smoke. It clears your lungs from cancer. One of my friends told me that when we were 12 behind McDonald's. We learn the dumbest things. Some of y'all are laughing, but you had the same thing told to you. Point is this, we learn to do the wrong thing. Someone taught you how to do something you know you're supposed to do. Paul says you and I got to learn to do things that are pleasing to God. Learn to live the instead kind of life. Because we're living in the kind of days that, man, the devil ain't playing. Leads me to the next one where he says also, but you endure hardships. You endure hardships. What does that mean? Don't quit. Don't quit. Hardships are going to come and people are going to want to give up. Paul said, Timothy, hard times are coming. Hard times are coming. And people are going to not want to endure hardships. They're going to be, this is just too hard. And they're going to quit when the heat is on. And one of the worst and the scariest and saddest verses in the whole Bible on this subject is the very next verse that we stopped reading. We didn't read that one, but I got it on the screen for you. Paul says this, but Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, having loved the things of this world. He's telling Timothy, hold on to, keep your pattern, stay in the word, keep going to church, keep hanging out with Christian community, man. Live for me. I know you're going to stumble, but get back up, man. Get in your word, stay in your word. Get that pattern going. And he tells him, be sober, man. Pay attention to what's going on. You can go have a good time. I love to have a good time, but you don't got to get tore up, which I didn't think you could do, but you can. And then he says, endure hardships when things get tough. For Demas has forsaken me. Y'all remember Demas? Demas shows up in Colossians. He's on a mission trip with Paul. And Paul writes to the church and says at the very end, by the way, Demas greets you in the name of the Lord. Philemon, he's with Paul. Paul writes and says, hey, you know, someone, Timothy is with me, Titus is with me. Oh, and Demas, we picked Demas up. He's a convert to the Lord. He says to tell y'all hi, what's up? It's that same Demas. And in here, he writes and says, he's forsaken me. I wonder how that happened. I wonder if they was on a missions trip, because people leave two ways. Either they get offended. Really, they got a problem with the truth, so they look for a reason to leave. I know I did that. I had a pastor flat out lie to me at our first church that we were going to. Said he was going to help me get a car. I mean, I'm broke, and I'm learning to tithe, and I had all kind of bad driving record and all. We had no money, man. And this they had a program that helped people get cars, used cars, but I'll take it. And this pastor said, man, and he guaranteed me the car, started talking it all. I done told Melinda, God is breaking through. God is healing. This works. I was so happy. Man, he turned around and gave that car to somebody else. One of his friends, his family thing. Do you know that I had to make a decision? I can take you to that place where I was standing that Sunday morning, looking up at that pastor saying, look at him. He lied to me. And almost made a decision in my heart that I was going to walk out that door. And I had every right to, in the flesh, but thank God for my dad, a mentor. He said, man, you don't look at that, Eddie. It's the enemy trying to get you out of church, man. Keep your eyes on God. You don't know what happened. You don't know the details. Needless to say, I'm here today. Because I didn't allow the enemy to get you offended. The enemy will get you offended. He'll point out, look what he said. Look what they did. So I don't know if Demas left like that or Paul got up one morning, put the campfire out, got up one morning and was like, let's go, guys. We're going over to somewhere. Look, where's Demas? Where's Demas at? And then realized that the last conversations he's had with Demas is Demas has talked about the money, talked about life, talked about out there, talked about Thessalonica. If he could just go back to Thessalonica, Pastor Paul, just for a minute. Paul was like, man, you got to get victory over that, brother. That's the enemy that doesn't. We got heaven waiting on us. He had the greatest mentor in his life was the Apostle Paul. But yet he writes and says, Demas has forsaken me, for he loves this present world. Jesus said in the last days when he's teaching, he said, remember, it will be like the days of Noah. And then he says this, but remember Lot's wife. Why? Because there's going to be people that say, I'll follow you, Jesus. They'll put their hands to the plow, but they're looking back. And you can't go forward very far if you keep looking back.
But Paul tells us how we are to do it. He says, Demas has forsaken me, but this is how you do it. I'm getting ready to lose my head. Isn't that something? Demas left because he got offended, but I'm getting ready to lose my head for serving this Jesus. But you know what? The time of my departure is at hand. For I have fought the good fight. You don't have to fight to get more faith, but you'll have to fight to keep the faith you have. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight. I have ran my race. I don't know about you, but I ran my race. I went all the way to the finish line. And there he said, I have kept my faith. I might have lost some friends, but I kept my faith. I might have lost some battles, but I kept my faith. I might have lost my insanity sometimes, but I kept my faith. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. Demas, you can be Demas, you can follow Demas, and I pray we don't have a Demas up in here. Now, if your name's Demas, I'm so sorry. Spiritually speaking, the Bible says in the last days, many will fall away. But you, Timothy, endure sound doctrine. And the last thing he said, so he says, what did he say? I want you to follow the pattern that I kept for you. Be watchful. Be sober-minded, man. Pay attention. Be alert. Wake up at what's happening. Look around the things in the world. The culture. It's all from the enemy trying to divide people. Endure hardships. Are you going through a hard time right now? We all are, either coming out or going in. It's life, because that's how we grow. It's part of it. Endure it. Make it through. Make it through. And then he says this, do the work of an evangelist. Oh, I love that. That's why I brought the mission team up. That's why we still do missions. We can never get so into whatever's happening that we lose sight of and lose hope for people. No matter how much people get on your nerves, and it's hard for people to be on your nerves and be on your heart. It's hard. And they are. They're either on your nerves or your heart. And they're on my nerves all the time I turn on that TV. Oh, look at these idiots. God, they're blind. Help me. Help me, God, see them the way you see them. Do the work of an evangelist, Timothy. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Whatever your testimony is, keep sharing your testimony. You don't have to have a testimony like me running the streets of E-Course, getting shot at and all that. You can have a testimony like Samuel in the Bible of God's keeping power that kept you from, like my brother, Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve and I are in the prodigal son story. He's the older brother that stayed home, only he's younger, amen. And he stayed home and he had to fight through his own religious truths and find God's word. And he's got a whole testimony to that. I was a knucklehead that went to the pig's pen. We both have some, everybody here has a story. Whatever your story is, share it. Whatever God blessed you and you're here today, what has God brought you through? What has God saved you from? That's what you share. That's what you post. That's what you go for. Don't let people pull you into this side. Which side are you on? Who are you for? Are you for this side? You for that? I'm for the kingdom of God. That's who I'm from. I'm from the kingdom of God. Where are you gonna go when you die, brother? Now, I have my political views, and I got views, what I believe, but I'm not going to die on that hill. But for this word, this is what I'm going to die on right here. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I want to keep the faith. I want to fight the good fight. I want to run my race all the way to that finish line. I don't care if I stumble and trip. I'm going to get back up because I want to be able to say those words at the end that I have kept the faith. I've run the race, and I've fought the good fight. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's stand. Let's stand to our feet today. Thank you, Jesus. That's how you thrive in the end times. You keep that, spiritual pattern, establish that spiritual pattern. And you're coming here today. Church is a good one. It's awesome to give God the first day of the week, the first few hours of the morning in worshiping Him. See, that's a spiritual, you are creating space in your life for God to move. When you read your Bible, you're creating space for God to bring transformation. That's why you can come to church You got to learn to do these disciplines and establish a pattern. Christian friends, who you hanging out with, man? Who you hanging out with? Who's in your circle? What kind of influence? What are they speaking? Whose voice do you listen to? I mean, these are things that we got to pay attention to in the last days, more so than ever. Stay sober, man. It's not about getting high. It's not about that. You can also be drunk off politics. You can get drunk on all kinds of, you can be clear. It means to be clear-minded. So you can have your mind clogged with video games. That's your passion. Been gaming for 3 days. Hot pockets and nothing else. I mean, you're just like, and there's people that get into cycles like that. Be clear-headed, man. Come on, be sober-minded, because while you were happening, we went to war. Paul is saying, listen, be sober-minded. Go out and have a good time. Enjoy life. But be sober-minded. Know that the adversary is roaming around. He don't quit. He don't sleep. We are passing through this land. This isn't our home. And we're not here. People that don't know Jesus, listen, last thing I'm going to say, they're not our enemies. They're the ones we need to rescue. No matter how they look, no matter what they say, man, they're blinded. But we got to help. We got to rest. Do the work of an evangelist. I love that. I'm an evangelist at heart, man. Because I would not be here today if it wasn't for people that come and rescued me. People that I would show up at a party and leave and run into these people. And you heard them stories before. Pastors finding me at places and knocking on my door and talking to me. Eddie, what are you doing? God's got a plan for your life. Doing the work of an evangelist. Not giving up on people. Praying for them. Sharing your testimony to them. They're struggling? Come on, man. We can come alongside. I can help you with this. I struggled with that. I know how that is. You're just going through that time. You're going through that growth time, and you just get them to get on that other end. Amen? Hallelujah. Come on, give God some praise today. I love this church. I love you guys, man. I love what God is doing here. It's amazing what God is doing in this church. And I said this before, it looks like Noah's Ark in here, don't it? Yeah. Everybody was safe in the ark, amen? Yeah. We got to build a bigger ark. How many got loved ones that aren't here? Let's get real. That's the work of the evangelist. No matter how crazy times get, we can't quit reaching out. My dying breath is going to be, got to win souls. Win the loss at all costs. Pastor Jack put that in us, and we were just saved. I'll never forget that. I always will be for souls. Let's bow our heads today. Maybe you're here today or listening to this message, and before we open the altars for prayer, for anything else, I'm going to throw out the net for salvation to see if there's anybody that needs to say yes to Jesus today. Maybe you're here visiting, or you've been coming for a long time, man, but you would say, Pastor Eddie, to be honest with you, some of the stuff you said today, the Holy Spirit really pricked my heart and really got me. And I don't know if I've ever surrendered fully to the Lord today, but in my life, but today's the day I want to say yes to Jesus Christ. If that's you today, I'd love to pray for you, but I want to see where you are. Will you just reach your hand up high and say, pray for me today. I want to make sure that today's the day. If anybody is here in this room, pray. Just lift your hand. Amen. I see that hand. Anybody else, lift your hand. Say, pray for me today. If you're watching online, you can put your name in that chat. We got people that's going to pray for you. Anybody else, pray for me. I need to fully say yes to Jesus today. I don't care if you came from Lutheran background, Baptist background. I don't care. I don't care if you've been coming to church. Maybe you strayed, but you're needing to come up and say, want to recommit my life to the Lord. Listen, if that's you, just put your hand up if you haven't already. Amen, amen, amen. Altar team, I'm going to have you come up to this front. Come up to this front, altar team, and just line all the way across here. How many received this word today? Say, okay, that's for me. I need to receive this word today. I need to have a pattern established. I need to sober up in my mind. I've kind of become lackadaisical. I've kind of, you know, backed off a little bit. Like the 10 virgins, I've been running out of oil and went to sleep. I need to be awakened. You take that message however you need to. You'd be awake and you learn, endure hardships and do the work of an evangelist. Don't stop reaching out to your lost ones. Amen. I'm going to pray over all of you, but if you need prayer, if you lifted your hand for salvation, or if you need prayer for healing or anything, I'm going to have you come up here to the front. And right after I pray. So, Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for this word today. God, as it is challenging and also giving us instruction, and help us, Lord, to thrive in the end times. And I pray this over your whole congregation today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, and God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people. And you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.